No, man, I'm seriously asking. What is this show, man? Two guys making a podcast. Got a lot to say, so we talk fast. If it's Thursday night, say Atlas. Two hosts, not Miscast. Mike and Johnny, bring the bomb blast. On your Facebook feed, never bypass. Saying bad stuff, leave you flabbergast. Osmox, not super fast. Still, much better than a newscast. Live show, rebroadcast, the Tangent Podcast, never outlast, man, Tangent Podcast with Mike and Johnny, bringing the schmears, rock for rookies, represent, let's get the show started, man.
Oh, that is, that's West Side.
Welcome to episode 12 of season 4 of Tangent Podcast with Mike and Johnny. Alongside Mike, I am Johnny, and thank you for joining us tonight, this Purim of Eves, here in the Israel of Ziz. And we're with
you. Really worked hard on that intro.
We're with you on Facebook Live and on Mixler.com/Maximum-Mike. Welcome, everybody, and here we are.
Yeah. I got...
You got nothing.
It's not that I got nothing. It's just, like, so much. There's so much that there's, like, nowhere particular to start.
The thing about Purim is that because of the whole...
And it's not just Purim, mind you. I'm, like, in the middle of celebrating two holidays right now.
Because it's the Day of the Dude? Or...
It's also, hey, no, Day of the Dude is March 5th. March 6th. March 6th is Day of the Dude.
It's Abidation Day? Abidement Day?
Yeah. Abidizatia.
What's it called?
It's called the Day of the Dude.
No, what's today?
Oh, right now we're in the middle of Hangover.
Hangover.
Yeah.
So the thing about Purim that's kind of iffy? Is that the word I'm looking for? Sure, why not? The thing that's weird about Purim is that...
Compromise.
What happens is, because Purim is... because of our lunar calendar, right? The thing starts in the night, ends the next night.
Of course.
That means if you're going to do a Purim Suda... Your Purim Suda has to start at least before the end of Purim itself. So what happens is you start, like, oftentimes, I guess it's a little different because we work or whatever, so we do it as late as possible these days, but what happens is you start a Purim Suda at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and by 7, everybody's partied out.
Yeah, man.
Everybody's drunk, and everybody's like post-drunk. And they're just hanging out, and it's like, you know what? I could go to bed, and it's like 8:45.
Well, that's pretty much the... That's sort of like the norm for everyone, most of our friends our age and in that same place in life. At 7:40, that's why it's so damn difficult to get anybody to do anything that takes place at night. Everyone's like, at 7:45, you finally get the kids to sleep, and you're just like, bleh.
But I'm going to go stare at my computer screen for an hour and a half, take a shower, and go to bed.
Well, I'm going to go stare at my computer screen because I'm sure there's something important I should be doing in front of it, but I'm not really going to do anything. That's usually the...
Right. I'll just fire up The Sims and putz around with that for an hour and then
I'm
go to bed.
So excited that I downloaded StarCraft, though. Yeah. I know you're not a StarCraft person, no. But my favorite, like, you want to know something that's relaxing? Something relaxing is turning on a game that you used to play when you were in high school, putting on all the cheat modes... And then just watch your little dudes kill some other little dudes without trying and making any effort at all.
Sometimes it's fun for me to watch other people on YouTube playing games I used to play back in the day.
But like, what kind of games?
So there was a first-person shooter made by Bungie Software, who are the guys that make the Halo games.
Okay.
It was back in the day. I come from a family, we're a Macintosh Apple family. We always have been. So when I was a kid, there weren't a lot of video games available because they were all PC games. So it just so happened that there was this trilogy of first-person shoot-em-up games called the Marathon Trilogy, which were amazing, and I played my whole childhood. Basically, in the first one, you are a security officer on board the USC Marathon, which is the moon of Mars. Deimos was turned into a colony starship, and it gets attacked by this race of beings called the Four, spelled PH-OR, and they would they attack the ship, and then you start to learn through these computer terminals that the three artificial intelligences on the ship have gone rampant, which is like they achieve sentience, and one of them, named Durandal, called the four to him to help free him from his programs, and all this crazy stuff happens. So that's the first one. The second one is called Marathon 2 Durandal, where Durandal, this AI, sends you all over the galaxy to, like, fight bad guys and do missions for him. And then in the third one, it's a little bit more of the same, but much more...
What else is Bungie known for? Because it sounds familiar. What else
do they do? I mean, their most famous thing is Halo, the Halo series.
But that's after my time.
So back in the day, games that I used to play were an early shoot-em-up called, a first-person game called Pathways into Darkness. Then there was like a side-scrolling, beat-em-up style platformer called Abuse, where you're...
kind of on the nose.
Abuse, you're a prisoner on a prison colony that gets overrun with aliens that look suspiciously like the alien from the movie, and you fight your way out of the prison.
Okay, so the very first game ever created by Bungie is a game called GNOP.
Called what?
GNOP, G-N-O-P exclamation mark.
Oh, jeez, what's that?
It is a freeware Pong clone.
Okay.
By Alex Seropian, before Bungie was formed.
Okay, next.
Then there was Operation Desert Storm.
Okay.
Written by Alex Seropian himself. Then
Minotaur. Yeah, I used to play Minotaur also.
The Labyrinth of Crete.
Yeah.
Then Pathways into Darkness, as you said. Then Marathon.
Yeah. Marathon 2, Durandal. Marathon Infinity.
Weekend Warrior.
What's that?
No idea. There's Abuse.
What year was Abuse? 97?
Myth,
that's
right.
That
was a famous one.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's already Halo showed up, and then it's all over.
Yeah.
Then they're like, we know where our money comes from.
But there's a lot in the Halo series that harkens back to the Marathon series, and there's a lot of people who have all these fan theories about how the two are connected.
So I was going through my CD case this past week. I have no idea why. I just picked it off my shelf. My CD case of CDs that I, like, burned and made over the years is enormous.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably, like, 200 CDs in here.
Mm-hmm.
So I found this CD with a giant pentagram on it that I had colored in myself.
Oh, boy.
And so I then, after a few minutes, I remembered what it was. It was the game Carmageddon.
Oh, yeah.
You remember Carmageddon? Sure. Where it's like, yeah, go run over people and you get
It was like Need for Speed with violence.
Yes. That's a very good example of it. Now, I used to play it all the time. I thought it was hilarious, right? But then at some point, it stopped working on my computer because...
Your computer wasn't powerful enough?
No, other way around.
Your computer was too powerful.
It was too powerful, then the CD didn't work anymore. So... But I found out one day that if you stick it into a regular CD player... it would just play the soundtrack.
Does it?
That was on. So I tried to get it to work on my computer, and it didn't recognize any music on it, but I remember for a fact that it had some Iron Maiden songs on it. Like, that was a part of the actual soundtrack.
So you looked up the soundtrack to find out what the
song was. No, so I tried to play here on this computer in 2018 for a game that came out in 1997.
Michael says here, and it's a brand new HP laptop, so it would definitely be powerful enough to play a song from, like, 1998.
So the game kicked in, and the installation started working, but then it was, like, so pixelated and so broken that it straight up refused to work. But then it got me thinking about lots of other games that I used to play from back in the day, and that's why I eventually downloaded StarCraft.
Okay.
Like, I finally went ahead and did it. But then, your comments just got me thinking, do you remember a game from the 90s called Terminal Velocity?
Sure.
It's like a spaceship and you're flying around.
Yeah.
I really want to play that game right now.
Yeah, there was another one that was really popular called Descent.
Yeah.
Do you remember Descent?
I hated that game so much.
Because you never know if you're upside down or right side
up. You never knew where you were going. Old games where you would try to, like, draw maps out for yourself. Did you ever do that at any
point? There was a map.
Not in Descent.
In Descent. What, there wasn't?
Did it make any sense?
No, because I never knew where the hell I was going anyway. And I basically, what I would do with Descent is I would go to an area, I would go basically just use the cheat code to switch to any level, and go to my favorite the levels with my favorite music and just listen to the music.
Do they still have cheat codes nowadays? On absolutely. Like, on like Xboxes.
Yeah, but they mess with you for using them. Like first of all, if you play online and you cheat, then you're gonna get.
It's weird that it allows that to happen.
Well, the reason why, do you know why cheats exist in video games?
Because people are bad at them, and they're, it makes them want to play more.
They're for testers to be able to debug the game faster, right? If you're playing Doom, and you need to debug a level, and you need to find the place where the bug is, you don't need to be playing the game and getting chopped to pieces by bad guys. You need to be immortal so that nothing can hurt you, so that you can figure out where the problem is.
Okay.
So that's why, like, certain cheats in The Sims, for example, you write testing cheats enabled, true or false. That's the code. They're testing cheats. They're for the testers of the game.
It's a really, really long cheat code.
There's a whole bunch of crazy awesome cheats in
The one that took me too long to figure out. I mean, I found all of the ones for StarCraft, but the one, I was like, one of them is called Modify the Phase Variance. I'm like, oh, it's so long to type in.
For what?
Modify the Phase
Variance. For what?
For StarCraft.
What does it do?
It gives you all the upgrades.
Oh, nice.
But it's just like, why is that so long? Like,
because especially if you're just typing it into your system, you have to make sure you spell it all right, but you can't see it, so you don't know if it worked or not.
Well, actually, in this one, apparently because it's because StarCraft is a multiplayer game, so it's instead of messaging.
What do you
like,
mean?
You can actually hit enter
and
then
the messenger, yeah.
Right, and you type that into the messenger, and that's how it works.
Yeah, that was a later addition. Like, in The Sims, you hit Control-Alt-C, and a little window opens up, and you can type in all your cheat codes, so.
But I'm super curious to see if Terminal Velocity would work. That was a game my dad bought me. Like, my dad didn't buy me a lot of video games when I was a kid, because first of all, I had no console.
Right.
And I had no money, right. So I was kind of super dependent upon my dad.
Yeah, my parents also didn't buy. I had a lot of downloaded demos and stuff like that. Only reason I got all the marathon games and stuff like that is that because when I was at some point, like when I was in high school, Bungie released something called like the Marathon Fun Pack or whatever, and it was like $20, but it had Marathon 1, 2, and 3, Pathways into Darkness, Minotaur, all these amazing Bungie games all in one for like $20. And my dad's like, all right, you can have it.
That was for sale on some, I saw it on some website like about 6 months ago. They had Dark Forces, Jedi Knight, like they had that whole series for like $16.
Yeah,
and I really wanted to get it, but Ellie was like, no.
I used to play Dark Forces all the time too.
Yeah.
So here's something interesting that happened to me. Last night, I was at the Megilla reading at Bar-Ilan University. It was the no nonsense one, as they call it, and it was probably about 100 to 125 people there. And no nonsense meaning they do the first haman and the last haman. Fine. So I was the chazan because I'm an avel and I was doing my thing and I needed to say kaddish. Now what was interesting was at the end of this after the Megillah, at the end of davening,
you have to daven some more.
People are already talking and starting to mill about, and Elenu comes by and like it's loud in the room. People are like, "Oh, it's Elenu and it's going to be over." But what people didn't realize was that somebody was actually going to say Kaddish. And I kind of looked around the room thinking, "Wow, all you 20 somethings none of you have lost a parent yet." And, like, that's so amazing for how we as humans are living to an older age where you have a room of 125 20-somethings and none of them say Kaddish, none of their parents have passed away yet. And I was like, it was just interesting. They weren't thinking that it was that somebody was actually going to say Kaddish. So it was just kind of a weird experience because I am also probably 10 to 15 years older than most of these kids that were in the room at the time. But at the same time, like, they know that Kaddish is a thing in shul, but they also know that it's probably not likely. It was just interesting that I was going to say Kaddish, but they weren't mentally prepared for it. So people were talking.
And then when you did?
Nothing. It was fine. It was
Did people keep talking?
Yeah, no, not really. I mean, a little, but enough. I'm not going to eat anybody's lunch for that. It's fine. Because I'm certainly a shul talker myself, so... I feel like that would be... I used to know a family in Cleveland whose last name was Shul Gasser.
Did Did you just say two names?
No, Shulgasser. That was
Shulgasser?
Shulgasser.
Does that mean, like, talk Shultalker?
Well, that's what I was thinking. Like, Shultalker would be a great last name for, like, a random Jew. Hey, did you ever... I ran into my buddy, Yossi Shultalker, the other day.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And he didn't have much to say.
Yeah, I'm Navajo Joe. This is Steve Windtalker. There's a guy, their Jewish name's called, like, Bookbinder.
Yeah, sure. I know Bookman.
Bookman, Bookbinder. There's a bunch of those. So Shultalker...
Bookman is a...
But Shultalker is kind of like a last name that somebody gives you. You know, you don't take that one on yourself.
The Bookman family in Cleveland, they own a... they're jewelers. And they own a jewelry store. And they advertise on the local Cleveland sports talk radio. So when they'll be like, we're going to go... we're going to be back in a minute. But before that, I got to talk to you about my friends over at Bookman & Son... For all your jewelry needs, let me tell you about Bookman & Son. And then he goes into his whole, like, live read about how, like, they're not going to pressure you into buying something. What's going to happen is you're going to go in there, and Josh is going to come over to you and be like, hey, do you need any help? And if you say no,
he'll be like,
he'll
okay.
He'll be like, okay, and he'll leave you alone. How many times do you go to a store at the mall and you want to buy jewelry, and they're like,
but you
hey,
don't
man.
Want to buy jewelry. And they're like, hey, yeah, you better fucking buy jewelry.
Yeah. So and then when he talks about like, and Josh is gonna tell you, like, I know Josh Bookman, I grew up with Josh Bookman. Good for him.
That's weird. That was an actual advertisement. They'll leave you alone.
The point he was trying to make was, like, look, they know what they're doing. They have very high quality items, and they're not gonna be pressuring you into something. They know that if you're buying an engagement ring, they know it's a lot of money. And they're gonna treat you like human beings, and they're not gonna pressure you and whatnot. And I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna go to Bookman & Son,
and I'm not gonna buy anything.
I'm gonna drive out to Brook Park and see Bookman's. By the way, it's like about a half an hour drive to get to their store. So,
is that a lot
in Cleveland? Yeah, because if I can drive to Walmart in 7 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't know. There's always, like, a mall when we go to Jersey. There's always a specific mall that we always have to go to, or Target, and it's like, it's a half an hour. It's like a 30-minute, 35-minute drive.
Target is a mile away from my dad's house.
You gotta go on some kind of freeway.
And then Walmart is probably another mile away. But then there's, like, Targets and Walmarts everywhere. So sometimes I'll be like, you know what? I want to go to a different Walmart today.
Does it matter?
Sometimes. I mean, if you're me and you like to buy Hot Wheels, then yeah. Because you'll go to one and you'll be like, I didn't like what I saw there. So I'm going to try to find a reason to
Have you ever driven from a Walmart to another Walmart?
No. No. I can't... Okay. I very much... I'm going to say 95% no. But there's a small doubt that might have been something that... But it's a believable thing.
You very rarely ever go from one same store to another same store.
Not really, because if you read... Let's say you're reading in the paper... there's a sale on something you need at Walmart. You go to Walmart and they don't have it. Well, if you're already out, you might as well drive to the other one and see if they've got it.
If they're close enough.
Yeah, why not? Because, I mean, it's the Midwest. We're made out of Walmarts.
Made out of
Walmarts. We have what's called a Super Walmart, which has a giant grocery store in it also. And it's built on the remnants of a golf course that was shut down.
Which of the major supermarket chains here in this country is the closest to a major supermarket chain in America?
Fancy Phenom.
Like, just because of its straight up size?
Because of its size, because of the depth of the products, and because of the gimmicky shenanigans going on inside. Yes. Yeah.
They have the jungle chocolate section.
They've got every aisle has its own theme. There's like...
I haven't been there back before we used to not have cars. That's how long it's been since I've been to Chutzpah.
Since you had a car, you
no,
haven't?
No, exactly. Exactly.
But it's far away.
That's right.
I don't understand.
We used to get rides with other people.
Oh,
remember
yeah.
back before we
oh,
had
I
cars?
Went one, I went one night with your wife to Chutzpah together, the two of us.
Who had a car?
I did. At the time.
At the, just because you
had... We had a car early in our marriage for like 6 months.
I don't remember this.
One of my parents' very good friends moved back to Israel. And moved back from Israel to America, and they hadn't done anything with their car, so they're like, until we figure out what we're doing with their car, your son can have it, just pay us for the insurance. So we had
I
a car.
I vaguely remember this,
yeah,
but not
a
really.
Gray little Honda Jazz. And then
I do remember that.
And then
thing.
When their nephew moved to Israel, shout out to Kiva, he got the car because family, you know.
Yeah, so I haven't been to that place since before all of us had cars, because by the time we had a car, they had opened up a million new places.
Right.
Like the Super Sol and Yachin Center and, Rami Levy's and all that kind of stuff.
Our buddy David says that Osherad is a Costco affiliate, so do they sell a bunch of Costco-like products at Osherad?
What's the Costco brand they're on?
Kirkland?
Yeah, I've seen that in Israel, I think. We've never had like I've gone once to Costco in America in the last like 10 years.
Yeah.
In the last 10 years, 11 years since I've been married, I've had the opportunity to go once to Costco, and the thing that impressed me the most was the large sale they were having on coffins.
How much were they?
I don't know, but they were selling them for like 10. Because you have to buy them in groups. You have to.
Oh, so you bought bulk.
No, I didn't do anything, but I was like, there's a bunch of coffins. I'm like, who needs a bunch of coffins?
Well, did you have to buy the coffins bulk, or could you buy
them? They were selling them in bulk.
Were they the nice, fancy, goyish coffins?
They were, like, brown wood coffins. But I'm like, who needs to buy their own coffins? Like, what do you get? You're burying your family without the help of the... You know what I mean?
Maybe what you do is say...
Is this for people who are burying family members in their own backyard and they're just like,
no,
we need a mausoleum?
Maybe you get a discount coffin and then you still go to the... I don't know how it works for non-Jewish funerals and stuff, but you buy the cheaper coffin.
Sir, which coffin would you like? Well, I brought my own from Costco.
Yes, exactly. I brought my own. and whatever thousands of dollars the funeral home would charge you, you get a better deal. It's just saving some money. I don't know.
I don't understand. Mortuary, what did I say? I said funeral home? Is that not the right word?
I think they're both accepted.
Yeah, I don't know what... Okay, welcome back. Oh my god, I'm so tired.
Yeah.
I'm so tired.
We're pretty sure this is going to be a shorter episode than it normally is because we prepared not so
also,
much.
No one's here. And that's because it's out, Purim. It's understandable.
Everybody's out partying on Purim.
Yeshua says you would want to buy in bulk if you want to start your own mortuary.
Oh, that's true. You could buy a bunch and then bring them back to your funeral home and be like, hey, man.
Right, but then you'd have, like, your grandma dies and you're leaning over the casket and you find that little Walmart sticker, that little Costco sticker inside.
Well, she died. She's buried with what she loves. Costco. Here's grandma.
Here's the 6-pound tin of potato chips for you.
Here's a sad but uplifting and beautiful story that I learned that I didn't know beforehand was one of my my mother was far from the first member of the Jewish community to die of cancer, and one of my family's very good friends his wife had died of cancer as well. And she, my mother had knitted her a hat as her hair fell out because of all that stuff. She was buried in the hat that my mother knitted for her.
Are you allowed to do that?
Why not?
I don't know. Are you allowed to wear hats? Are you allowed to be clothed?
You could be buried in,
in Israel.
You could be buried in the shoulder pads that the Legion of Doom used to wrestle in if you wanted to.
In America, not in Israel. In Israel, you're just wrapped up in the towels,
right?
Yeah, you're
those,
naked underneath.
Those shoulder spikes would stick. Are you naked underneath?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I have never had the opportunity to check.
Yeah.
It's not like a Scotsman where I'm going to look what he's wearing under his kilt, you know?
Are you going to look at what a Scotsman's wearing under his kilt?
If I have the opportunity.
Okay, fair enough. So it's just, that was a really nice story. And her husband didn't even know. He didn't even know.
He didn't know
he
that
just,
she was buried
in the
hat.
He found out at the funeral for my mom because somebody mentioned it in one of the speeches. And he was like, I'm totally blown away. I can't believe that.
That's crazy. Weird. Hey, when somebody just got up and said, hey, remember when your wife died?
No, well, I mean, obviously.
Did you know? Little pop quiz here.
Okay.
It's just a little weird. All right,
let's dial it down a little bit.
It's a little weird, man.
Michael made me promise, as my mom was getting sicker, that when she would pass away one day, that I would promise him not to make dead mom jokes.
I'm not making fun of your mom. I'm making fun of whoever this other dead person is.
Yeah, please don't.
Oh, okay.
She was a wonderful lady.
I'm sure. Okay, fine.
Her husband's a super cool dude.
Then let's fix this. I'm not making fun of the dead woman. I'm making fun of the person who thought it was a good idea to talk about that at the funeral.
Oh, I forget.
Let's bring in some other misery here.
I think you might be making fun of my dad.
I saw your dad's speech, and it was not your dad's
speech. Okay, so it wasn't his speech. All right.
Somebody. And your dad's still on the table for making fun of.
My dad?
Yeah.
Oh, certainly.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right, so we're solid.
My shoulders look weird in the video today. Oh, there we go. I don't know. Anyway, so, what else we got? You got anything you wanted to talk about? Are you on Miluim yet?
Do I look like I'm fucking Miluim?
But you said
this is our new uniform.
No, I thought you said that you were coming home. You were coming home every Thursday when you go on Miluim.
I still have another week. Okay. I still have another week till I go in, but I got to like break in my shoes again this past week.
What do you mean again? It's the same pair of boots you've had for the last 10
years.
Yeah,
but they get all stiff and shit when you don't wear them for a whole year.
They re-seal themselves.
Leather. It's leather. They just like sort of get hard and after a while, and when you wear them for like a couple hours, then they get all soft and stuff.
Okay.
So for the last 2 years, they've been asking me, do you need new shoes? I'm like, yes, I've had these same ones for the last 16 years. I would like a new pair, please.
And they gave them to you.
And every single year, they're like, okay, we don't have any shoes for you. I'm like, why do you always ask me if I need shoes?
You're not going to give them to me.
They never, ever give me the new shoes. So the costume that we just had the Purim party at school. And instead of, do you remember what we usually do every single year? Do you remember what it is?
No.
We used to, we rent out the entire amusement park, like one in Ramagan. So this year, because they heard that there might be rain, I don't know, 2 months in advance, they decided to stop with that, and they rented out all of Ganei Tairucha.
To do what in?
To have a giant party.
A party or a carnival?
Party.
With a DJ?
With a DJ, he was wearing, I told you, he was wearing this shirt that was like Beat Drop Master.
Yeah.
And they brought in these Israeli hip hop artists.
Was it fun?
The kids. Okay, so Ganei Tairucha has like an outside room where they have like maybe refreshments and stuff like that in the bathrooms. Then they have the actual main big huge room. And the. Not as like all the kids. There's a DJ inside and the banging music. Right? Is coming through, and all the teachers are off to a side room where there's like coffee and croissants and stuff like that. And all the children in all of their costumes are just like stuck in sardines in the outside room. Nobody wanted to go in because nobody felt comfortable dancing in front of, like, everybody was just too embarrassed to go
in. So it was empty inside?
It was basically empty inside. And it was from 10 to 1 in the afternoon, and like by 10.
It's like a sitcom prom.
Basically. And between 10 and, I would say, 11:30, it was only the 9th graders and 10th graders.
In the morning or
yeah,
the evening?
In the morning.
It was only that's the ninth... when you want to dance and have a big party.
Well, everyone was showing up naked and all of their, you know, it's basically naked? Slutty profession.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Take any profession and add the
word. For the boys, too?
Everybody. Everyone.
Teachers?
No, not teachers. Definitely not the teachers. So okay, so anyway, all these kids were outside, and they're all, the girls are looking fine, and the boys are looking all crazy, and none of them are wearing shirts because whatever, what are you? I'm a doctor without a shirt. It's like, I don't even, you know. And eventually, only when the 12th graders showed up at around quarter to 12.
Why did they show up? Till 1,
because they're 12th graders, and they don't show up on time to anything. That's when everyone started moving into the dance area. And the DJ was great. Like, when finally everybody showed up, everybody started dancing and moving. It was great. He was a good DJ.
Was there, like, grinding and, like, ass shaking and, like, kids
being
inappropriate?
I've never, ever been to, like, we have, like, disco party. Like, we have dance parties at every Tiul Shnati.
Okay.
Like, it's a 2-day thing, and that night in whatever campground we're staying or whatever, Achsania, right, whatever it's called, they bring in a DJ, and everyone has, like, a bit of a dance party. I have never, in the last 9 years, see anybody grinding together.
Well, that's good.
It's basically just a bunch of girls grouped together, jumping up and down, and a bunch of guys being even rowdier, jumping up and down. Nobody ever dances with anybody.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, it's really like a sitcom.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird.
It's like that episode of The Simpsons where Lisa runs the school dance, and then she can't attend because she doesn't have a date, And then she goes in, and the boys are all on one side, and the girls are all on the other side, and they're too scared to dance with each other. That's the one where Willie comes fly. Willie is like trying to get. He's all
oiled up.
Yeah, something about like grease trap being exploding or whatever. I don't know. Anyway.
So one of the things that I was super curious about is why all the kids dress up in the same costume together. They come in flocks. Like, all of a sudden, you'll be like, because we have to check every kid to make sure that they have their parents' permission slips. There's a bunch of slutty nurses. And then, like, 12 slutty nurses will show up together. Or 12 slutty soccer players will show up together. And I'm just like, what's this group thing that they're doing? And I feel like at this point, it's a matter of lack of self-confidence.
Sure.
Which is so weird because it's all about the me so much, right? That's what the generation is all about, me, you know, focus on me. And yet, here they are completely flocking. They're flocks.
Yeah, because they're high school students.
And they're terrified. They're like, yeah, I want to dress up and I want to look good, but you're going to do it with me? Okay, we're all going to be soccer players together. Okay,
that's understandable.
It's just weird. It's a little bit hypocritical. I don't know. In a sense, it's a little bit hypocritical. But in the end, we all dressed up. All the teacher groups always dress up together. So we were Sof Maslul. Do you know what that is?
End of the tour.
Tour of duty kind of thing, right? Yeah. So at the Sof Maslul is when you're at the very end of whatever basic training thing that you're doing. So everyone had, like, we were all supposed to have army pants. And only, like, three of the teachers had army pants for some reason. So they made, like, Sof Maslul. You always make a Sof Maslul t-shirt, right? At the end of everything in the army, you get yourself a t-shirt.
Sure.
So they couldn't figure out at all what to wear. So I designed the t-shirt for the group. And it's a Sherlock Holmes symbol. And it's a segel, because we're, like, the Mifukdim, right? And in the back, it just basically said, Avale Fukulam. Which basically means,
where is everybody?
Because the 12th graders haven't shown up for school in months.
Right, because so we're looking for them.
No, they totally have to. They just didn't. So they don't show up. They don't show up at all. It's crazy. Usually this starts happening around now. Like before Pesach and like the report card's done and there's like a month in between the last report card and when they go on to Pesach vacation. And so like whether they show up or not no longer matters. And after Pesach, they don't show up at all.
Right.
They don't have to.
School's practically
over. No, they don't have to. It's just bagruts from that point onwards. No longer classes.
I wish I didn't have to show up to work after Pesach.
So that was what we did. And I was the only one who came with army boots. Because I had them and nobody else. I'm like nobody does me the way. It's crazy.
I have a new person I take to work in the car with me every morning. A girl from Petah Tikva who just started working at my company. And she's like, she's 25, just out of college. This is her first job. And she was saying how, she was saying to me the other day, she's like, man, I'm so tired by this, all this work and stuff like that. And I'm like, welcome to real life.
Well, that's what Eugenie and I used to do, like, about a year ago, whenever we would take, when she was still biking, before the incident.
Yeah.
She's
still not back on a bike?
Nope. Well, they have a car now, so why would she?
Right.
So, we used to drive our bikes through Bar-Ilan, and then we'd just, like, slow down as we were going through university and just, like, curse everybody laying on the grass.
Yeah.
You don't even know, you're sitting here on your grass complaining about how hard your life is. You don't even fucking know. Classes start at 10 o'clock in the morning and you're complaining about your crazy work.
I always had early classes in college. I wasn't afraid to, like, have to get up early. I just wanted to take the classes I wanted to take. So if it was early, I took them.
It's like, I just don't think that school can be compared to work.
It can't, and it isn't. Who compares school to work?
No, there are a lot of people. I know people who are just like, oh, you wouldn't believe how busy I am because of school. And you're like, calm your face up.
Well, instead of that, you'd be like, yeah, I would be perfectly understandable because guess what? I was once also in school. And but the thing is that you can't knock a person who doesn't have the rest of the experience. You know what I'm saying? Like, they only have part of the story anyway. They've got the school. That's what they know. They don't know work. They don't have careers yet. So they don't know what they're doing yet. So, yeah, so for them, it's really stressful and hard, and they got to get their grades up and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, It's all...
It's like we said last week about the poetry a few weeks ago when my student did the poetry slam. She was talking about how difficult it is being a teenager.
Well, it is. It just doesn't compare to being an adult.
Right, so that's why I said my best idea would be if one day I ever get invited back to a spoken word thing, I'd be like, I'd like to participate, please. Yeah. And I want to get up there and talk about how difficult, speak for 5 minutes and do the whole, you know, yelling and speaking really fast and half rhymes and stuff like that.
We gotta pay bills.
Yeah, no. I would do a whole thing about how there's nothing harder than being a student and being a teenager, and I'd do that for 5 minutes, but I'd end off everything going, but then I became an adult, stupid. That's how I would end it, and just end it just by...
And then drop a mic.
Drop a mic, yeah. I don't think you can drop a mic during spoken word because people have to use it afterwards.
And well, then what's the problem? If it breaks, I guess.
I guess. You don't want to ruin an entire evening just because you're awesome.
Well, hey, if the President of the United States...
Well, he actually had his own... He had a second mic for that.
It was not plugged in.
No, he had the mic in front of him, and he was just, like, talking into the mic. He had his hands on the...
And then he pulled
a mic out from under and dropped it.
So he pre-mic'd the mic. He had a mic so he could drop a mic.
Is that as cool?
Much less cool.
It's less cool, right? Because imagine if he had broken it, and then that would have been the end of the night.
The night was over. Well, they probably...
Is the president's speech the last speech of the evening?
At the
correspondence?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, I think that...
Someone's got to say thank you afterwards.
I think at any dinner that the president goes to, he's the last speaker.
Right, so who's the last speaker when Trump doesn't show up?
I don't know. Nancy Pelosi. I don't know. I just threw a name out there.
It occurred to me this morning that I think you were talking about the fact that you read the news every single day.
Yeah.
It occurs to me that I think I get most of my news from, like, comedy shows.
That's...
Joel McHale has this new show. I don't know if you saw
that. I do like him, but I don't...
He has a new bit show where he interviews people and just makes random jokes about stuff going on in the news.
It's super awkward. I used to love his show, The Soup. You know about his show, The Soup? It was basically like a roundup of like a bunch of celebrities.
On E, right?
Yeah, but he was like super mean and nasty and hilarious. It was great.
And then he got onto Community?
Yeah, I guess so. And he's been acting on a lot of things. He's been doing stand-up forever. I mean, that's where his original start came. All right, that's going to do it for us here on episode... No? Do you want to call it?
Do we want to do the shallow? All
right, so we had this idea, and this might be a huge, horrible failure, but the idea itself does bear merit. And I think that this is something that if we can refine, we can do it in future episodes. So, the idea is like this. As you know, we do deep dives every week, and this week we didn't because I didn't prepare anything because... not that I didn't feel like it, it was just been a weird week. Excuse me. So Michael had the idea last night. He goes, let's do shallow dives. We've done deep dives. Now let's do a shallow dive.
Not for who.
We're gonna come up with a bunch of topics and we're gonna talk about them not having thought about it.
I'd be super happy if all three of you listening in also just start shooting us things that you want us to talk about and we'll try to cover as much as we can.
It's sort of like a version of like when we would get people to write in stuff that they didn't think I could complain about. And I could always find some...
That was a long time ago, man.
Something to complain about? Sorry, I got like a bubble, a weird bubble. This is a bad digestion day. Purim, because there's a lot of junk food.
You've been eating candy?
Yeah, and after the show, by the way, I'm going to eat some more candy. Yes, I am. So basically, I put together a list of stuff at work today. Then I forgot to send it to myself or bring it home or copy it to my phone or whatever, so I don't know any of those things. So at our suda this evening at Michael's house, I just went around the table and asked people and children and friends to talk for some topics of what we could talk about, do some shallow dives on. So my daughter suggested talk about how much she loves Shanae Kelman.
Whoa.
So that's a thing.
All right, so let's go through that. She loves that kid so much
that they
fight for at least 5 minutes.
And then they fight crazily. And then they love each other again and then won't stop holding each other's hands and say, like, we don't want to go home.
But that's like childhood right there.
That's childhood right there.
I remember my
kid... It's also girl childhood because where boys physically hurt each other,
girls emotionally hurt each other.
Right. Louis C.K. has that whole stand-up where, like, boys will break your stuff, girls will break you. Do you remember that? He had that bit about that?
Yeah,
where, like, my sister was visiting, and she was, like, collapsed after a day of shopping with her son, and I gave her a drink, and all she wanted was 2 seconds alone, and her son walks in and drops a fistful of sand into her martini, and we're in Manhattan on a 32nd floor of a building. Where the fuck did he get sand from? Well, that's boys for you.
Right. So that's what my daughter wanted to talk about. Your daughter wanted to talk about family.
Deep dive into family?
No, shallow dive. Family's good. Moving right along. another topic we had were guns. I like guns, but I don't want the wrong people to have them. Moving right along.
That's pretty damn shallow. That's a good shallow dive.
That's what I'm saying. I don't particularly dislike
them. Remember when you pissed off that guy who was watching us 2 weeks ago or last week when we did the
vet?
The vet.
Yeah. Why, did he come back?
No, I know that guy from a different Facebook group. But I was just thinking, you're like, it's a mental health issue.
And he's like, no, it isn't.
No, but you were very, I don't know what that means, a mental health issue.
Well, you gotta look at the circumstances that cause a person to go into a school and shoot it up. Not look at why he has the opportunity to get the guns. Why does he want to shoot people?
Yeah, but that's not the main issue, because if you have a really angry guy with a knife...
So, put the angry guy. Figure out why he's angry.
There's
it's
how
not
many,
the
how
knife's
many,
fault.
How many people are in America?
350 million or so.
Okay, and you want to figure out why every one of them has mental health problems?
No, but I would... I mean, yes. Yeah, I would.
How do you do that?
Careful reasoning and deduction.
Bullying. Done. Solved it. Let's keep going. People are assholes. Let's keep going.
Okay, so, but if we could pay closer attention, we can see how... disaffected and messed up the people certain
here's
people
the
are.
Thing here's the thing the whole
think about this, think about how many children's problems have been recognized and have been dealt with in a healthy way, and kids who potentially could have at some point been a school shooter never got the opportunity because
there's some sort of diagram that shows as we started dealing with kids' issues, more shooting went up.
Oh, I wouldn't make that statement without seeing it, but...
No, I'm saying I wonder if such a thing exists, because the shootings have increased over the last 10 years, and we've been dealing with all these kids' issues over the last 10 years. I'm not saying that that's fake science, but I feel like a lot of everyone just losing their mind probably has to do with the way that society is progressing and the focus on the me and the focus on all the issues, and everyone's so sensitive now, and we're told that you should be sensitive because why should you have to deal or struggle with any sort of adversity whatsoever? And as people struggle less with adversity and I have all these problems, the shooting has been going up.
That's an interesting point. And I don't have an answer to it.
Because
but
it's not based on anything, hence the shallow.
That's a little too deep for a shallow dive.
But
I mean, a shallow dive is like a sentence, I think, right?
Is it?
I
don't know. I
think that's how it
no,
should
a
go.
Deep dive is 15, 20 minutes. I feel like we can give 2 minutes to a shallow dive.
Okay.
It's a super important topic, and we just blew some people's minds.
Maybe. Hopefully.
Maybe.
Two people.
There's people listening on the other thing.
Yeah, but they're listening to both. The Olympics was another topic that was thrown out. Did you follow any of the Olympics?
Yeah, but only because Loudwire posted a video of some girl from Hungary or France or whatever who did her whole routine to an AC/DC medley.
Oh, that's fun.
She was all in black studs, and she had like an Angus Young patch on her jacket in the back. She fell like 3 times. And
there
I was just like,
aww. There was a good one of a Russian girl who was famously photographed with a sweater that says I don't dope, and then she got nailed for doping.
Oh shit. Yes. Why would she do that?
Yeah, that's good.
That's
good stuff.
Bad karma right there.
Bad karma right there. But hey, what are you gonna do? The fun one was that
the American kid who cursed and
forget that. The American men won curling.
Oh.
Gold medal in curling. And there was a great meme that was
going
on. And
they came back to a parade of the same amount of people that are watching Tangent tonight.
Not at all, because I was listening to one of my podcasts. I listen to sports podcasts. And they had the captain of the team on. And he was like, there were like hundreds of people at the airport when we got back. And we couldn't believe it. And we were so shocked. So there's a picture of the guys with their gold medals. And it's like this looks like a bunch of dads who just wanted to get away from their families and ended up winning a gold medal, because they just look like a bunch of middle-aged guys who are curling guys.
Curling guys.
Anything else about the Olympics that's worth talking about?
There was something with some gay kid.
That skier, what's her name? Is it Lindsay Davenport? Is that the skier?
Oh.
Lindsay Vonn. She won some medals.
So here's something that popped up on some random Facebook page. Apparently, in the late 80s and early 90s, for two Olympics, they had ski ballet.
What the hell?
Have you ever heard of this?
No.
It was so cool, this video, Johnny. It's a bunch of people, because it was also the 80s, so everybody had these, like, puffy ski suits, and they were all neon colors, and everybody had, like, big hair. The guys and the girls all had big hair. And they're doing, like, crazy acrobatics with skis. Awesome. And they had it for 2 years, and then at the end of, like, 1992, they were just like, this has no Olympic merit, and they canceled it.
Was 92 Lillehammer?
I don't know. 92
Winter Olympics. Was that Lillehammer?
But it was just crazy. I totally recommend that you guys go look for the ski ballet Olympic thing that is no longer a thing. But it was like, you have to be able to, like, jump in place and do a 360, you know, twirl in the air. And it was really cool to see.
Albertville, France. Okay, just saying.
Lillehammer is in Denmark?
I don't remember which year the Lillehammer
event. Why is Lillehammer an event that you remember it?
I think Lillehammer was the year of Nancy Kerrigan and Tanya Harding.
And that's a movie that's out now.
Yeah.
Because it's so important to the history of man that they had to make a movie out of it?
Well, I mean, it's a funny story, but it's...
Well, there were three funny stories in that same year. Do you remember what they were?
No.
Oh, by the way, it was 1994.
Yeah?
That one. The Nancy Kerrigan thing was like 94.
Well, if it was 90, it would have been 96. 94, Lillehammer 94.
Yeah, ba-boom, in your face.
I thought the Olympics were every 4 years back then. That's why I'm so confused.
I don't know. Then maybe it was 90 and 86.
The point is that I like the summer.
Do you know what the other three were?
Way more.
Like two stories were?
Go ahead.
That happened in 1994, the big ones? It was Nancy Kerrigan, right? Yeah. It was John Wayne Bobbitt.
Oh, God.
And it was that kid who got beat in Singapore for graffitiing.
Oh, yeah, he was caned.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it Singapore?
I think, yeah, it's definitely Singapore.
Yeah, yeah, and there was like a big scandal in America.
Do you remember, do you know why I know that?
From The Simpsons.
No, because of, in 1994, Weird Al released his first greatest hit CD, and it was all old stuff, and then one new song called Headline News.
It was all those three stories.
That's why I know what's going on. Like I said, I get all my news from, like, comedy sources.
A figure skater paying her ex-husband to break the knee of another figure skater.
Once there was this girl. A husband
getting his wang chopped off by his wife, who he probably abused, and who also wasn't mentally stable. And what was the last one?
See, I guess that's proof right there. It's not a gun thing, because if they don't have guns, they'll just chop off dicks.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so
that's
why it's a mental health issue. Yeah, sure.
Bringing it full circle.
What do you think, though? Okay, here's a shallow dive for you. Teachers with guns, go.
What?
Teachers with guns.
If they're trained, why not? That's it. That's all I got. Train them. Have them be responsible to have them have a gun.
What the hell do I care?
Am I worried that a student is going to grab it from them? Maybe, but probably not.
Okay, first of all, if you're walking through the hall and six guys jump on you and take your gun, that's a thing that can happen. But that doesn't happen usually. Also, okay, here's the thing. Here's the thing, though. I feel like the day that you shoot a student, your career is basically over.
Correct.
Even if the guy comes in and shoots a bunch of students, you're a teacher and you have to shoot a student?
I feel like time to retire. I guarantee you that there's plenty of teachers who are, especially in some of the more rural, where guns are more common areas of the country, who are perfectly fine and capable and own a bunch of guns in their houses and would be happy to carry one in school if that was what was required of them. If they had to shoot a student because a student was shooting up the school and they save a bunch of lives, the teacher's going to be a hero.
Yeah, but I feel like, again, shooting a student, you're just like,
A student with an assault rifle.
It doesn't matter.
It matters.
It's like, hey, what are your great accomplishments as a teacher?
If you're sitting in class...
Well, I got two kids to the Academic Olympics, and I'm gonna shot one in the chest three times.
So that's the thing. Like, if you're sitting in class and some kid's acting out and you pull your gun on him and you're like, no. Hey, man... No, but if there's an active shooter roaming the halls and you can take him out, take him out.
I know. Yeah, totally. But afterwards, retire.
Like afterwards, you're going to write a book, you're going to be in a movie, you're going to be...
That's horrible.
It's just, there's all kinds of opportunities for people like that. You can hang out with that guy who killed that kid. I got nothing. Okay, what else we got?
Yeshua says, would you rather have a week of Purim or a week of Yom Kippur?
A week of Purim. What's the question? Why would I want to have a week where I can't eat?
Shallow dive.
Shallow dive. Moving right along.
Do you hate pants?
Do I hate pants? Only at certain times of the day. I like pants when I go to work in the morning, and I hate pants when I get home.
There's my favorite part of the year, I would say, is around June, when I've pretty much stopped teaching completely. And I just start wearing shorts to school.
Yeah.
Because I have no reason not to. And
I could technically wear shorts to work in the summer, but I don't think it's professional, so I don't do it. Well, plenty of people do, so I guess it's not really
a big deal. There are only three teachers in my male teachers in my school who wear button-down shirts.
Right.
Everybody else just wears whatever t-shirt they want to with beer signs on them and inappropriate.
Yeah, no, that's not okay. And I only wear t-shirts to work in the summer. I usually just wear button-down shirts throughout the winter anyway. Okay, week-long vacation. That was something that I was asked. A week-long vacation's great. What's wrong with a week-long vacation?
Plan a week-long vacation here in the country.
In this country?
Yeah.
Plan it?
What's a good week-long vacation?
Well, I'm a Steiner, so we're going to stay in a fancy hotel, eat at nice restaurants, go to museums and shop. Maybe go to a performance of something at a theater somewhere. That's a Steiner family. Oh, go to the beach a couple of times. That's a Steiner family vacation. This one was actually kind of a deep dive. The idea of learning Torah from learning. No, I'm not doing it. Mayor, I love you, buddy, but I'm not going into your whole Torah championship thing. Loud drunks.
I'm against them.
I'm against them too.
I've been one though.
I have not.
You've never been a loud drunk?
I get very quiet when I drink.
I lose inhibitions.
Oh, I gain them. Isn't that weird?
I mean, perhaps it's an opposite thing?
I guess. I don't know. It brings out what's really inside of you. Do I have an inner introvert?
Contemplative.
Something. Because I remember there were times where I'd be places for like Shabbat when I was in Israel, and we'd go places and there was one specific time I remember. We were visiting a friend on the Shalem program, which is the religious section of Young Judea. We were at Kibbutz visiting them. They had a whole dorm. It was great. So Friday night after dinner, we got super drunk and we're partying and whatever. And people were going nuts and running around. And I basically was just hanging out. And people were like, wow, Johnny, you really hold your liquor well. And I'm like, I guess I do. I don't know. I don't feel the need to be running around crazy. I'm happy to sit here. And flirt with a bunch of nice-looking young ladies.
My friend Amit loves telling the story about the time that I was super drunk in his car, and I was just, like, yelling at women on the street.
That's classy.
Yeah. In my defense, I was 19.
Didn't know anything. Shit like that, and that scares me, but I'd like to do it again. Sorry, that's a line from a 311 song. Go ahead.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Go out and check it out. Vashti, is she a feminist?
No, she's a woman.
Okay. Well, she did try to stick it to the patriarchy, but they killed her for it.
She didn't try to stick it to the patriarchy. She was just more of like, she was like me. She was a don't tell me what to do. No, I don't think so. Don't tell me what to do.
Yeah, okay, but then she got killed for it.
Yeah, but we know that she... I mean, they always paint her as a... Like, that's the funny thing, though. They always paint her as a villain.
Yeah, well, who wrote the books? Who's the patriarchy's in charge of all that?
No, but...
There is a movement to look at her in a more favorable light because she tried to stick it to the man.
No, but... Okay, so let's say the patriarchy wrote the book about her, right? It's interesting how, like... what makes her the villain? That she said no, and so she's killed for it?
No, what makes her the villain is
but that she she's stood just... up to the bad guy in our own story.
Right, and the, what makes her the villain, villain is that commentators want to say that she did all kinds of horrible things, and by just by virtue of the fact that she was married to Ahasuerus, she
as opposed to Esther, who was in the exact same boat?
Well, she wasn't doing those things. I don't know. What I don't know. I don't know because it's not in the text. So it's you have to.
Well, none of it's in the text. It's like all the Mepharshim were just like, what's her face? What's her name?
Vashti.
Vashti.
Though according to the whatever, fine. I didn't miss that. Somebody
wrote. It said Michael Natt says that according to the Megillah, both Esther and Mordechai wrote the Megillah.
Okay, so then they would not think, well, they would not portray Vashti in a very favorable light.
Well, if it wasn't for her standing up to Ahasuerus, then
here's another thing. Like, why does okay? So he's got a harem, right? Ahasuerus, he's got all kinds of women, and so he kills his alpha woman wife. Why didn't he just promote from within? Esther was part of the Jewiarchy, which is different than the patriarchy, but also similar.
One of the ninth grade students dressed up at the party as a lesbian. He has like this like short on the sides haircut and curly on top, and he has these big glasses, and he basically wore a plaid shirt tucked in, put some boobs in, and he wore these like big baggy mama jeans. And then he had a giant sign that said, "Destroy the patriarchy, hashtag me too."
Okay, that's funny.
It was funny, and I'm sure it would have upset a lot of people if anyone had understood what he had written on his sign even a little bit.
That's great.
But then another one of my advanced students walked in dressed as Donald Trump. I'm like, hey, you know this dude? You two should meet. It was really, really funny.
And then the other one is ridiculous costumes that you need to explain. A lot of people try to get a little bit too clever with their Purim costumes every year, to the point where they have to actually explain what we are. Well, this one episode of Battlestar Galactica, and it's like, fuck you, be a doctor, family of doctors, and be done with
it. And remove your clothes.
Yeah, something like
that. Be a profession and make it,
All right, that's going to do it for us here on episode 12 of Tangent Podcast with Mike and Johnny.
No, we have a minute. We have... Four minutes to reach an hour.
we gotta fill 4 minutes of content. I think we can figure out a way to do that. I had here's something a little bit depressing. On the way home from work today, I was like, oh, I'll get in the car and I'll call my mom on the way
home. Holy shit.
And then I remembered that was a bad moment that happened to me today. So that was rough. But what else you want to talk about? We could talk about here.
That was so dark.
Here we watched Justice League. Well, one of us watched Justice League last night.
I fell asleep. It was a good movie.
Here's our little review. We're gonna talk about that for a minute.
Here's my little review on it.
Justice League was good. Okay, shut up, everybody. Just shut up. Okay, there's a lot of stupid crap in that movie, but it looked cool. There was interesting action. There were a couple of really breathtaking action sequences. What's that?
Superman.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my god, the scenes where Superman's mustache was CGI'd off looked so bad. I don't know, everybody on the internet's complaining about the villain Steppenwolf. I thought he was cool. I thought his voice sounded amazing. I thought his motivation was pretty clear and pretty standard.
I'm gonna destroy everything.
No, his motivation is he was exiled from Apocalypse.
Why?
They didn't go into
that. Did they go that it was at the end he was exiled?
No, he was exiled probably what happens is he's a legion of, he runs the legions of the parademons. In From Apocalypse, and I'm...
Yeah, spoilers. If you don't want to hear the last 2.5 minutes of our show, you should probably...
So he decides, oh, I'm gonna take over Earth, and he fails the first time, so he gets exiled, and his mother boxes get taken away. And...
I thought he was exiled by the Earthlings.
From where? He's from
Apocalypse. But he was put into some weird dimension.
He's one of the new gods. I think he was exiled from Apocalypse... Earth. And so what he wants to do is he wants to come back and use the mother boxes to destroy Earth and bring glory, turn Earth into a version of Apocalypse and bring glory to Darkseid. And he said,
praised Darkseid at one point, which was cool. I liked hearing that name get referenced, because Darkseid's going to show up. We know he's going to show up at some point.
No, first a bunch of other people are going to do things, then eventually he'll just go, I'll do it myself.
Right, something like that. And then I guess the death of Superman and Batman versus, and Batman versus Superman, is that where he died? Yeah.
Superman, Batman.
Yeah, Batman versus Superman, Dawn of whatever.
Justice.
As a result of the death of Superman, the mother boxes start to get, come to life again. I didn't exactly explain that very clearly, but fine. The villain wants to destroy the planet so he can go home. Makes sense. Go, moving right along.
Okay, I didn't see the second half of the movie because I did super fall asleep. But I'll tell you that you could definitely see a difference in scenes
that were Zack Snyder and scenes that were Joss Whedon. Yes,
yeah,
definitely.
You could tell there was a difference in the filming. It's like even the film, they're like, we're going to put a tint here, but there's not going to be a tint over there.
Dude, Superman's costume was bright again. It was great. And I loved seeing the way they
Spoilers, dude. I haven't seen the second half of the movie.
The way they brought back Superman was so lame. But the scene where they're fighting Superman was really cool. And the best scene in the entire movie, by far, is the scene where they're in Themyscira, where the Amazons live, and Steppenwolf shows up to try to steal their mother box, and all kinds of crazy... Were you awake for that part?
I think so.
Oh, man, that scene's
yeah,
so cool.
Yeah, because I remember the fire thing.
And Hippolyta's like, just keep it moving, keep it moving, keep it moving. They got the horses and their lassos. And
we gotta run away! Where are we gonna run? I don't know, we're on an island!
That doesn't matter. It was great. The boom tube...
Like, where were they going?
I don't know.
Like, what was the plan?
Away. The boom tube effects were so cool.
Did they boom?
A little bit, yeah.
Isn't it supposed to be a crazy boom?
Whatever. It was like, I don't know.
Hence it's called a boom tube.
Aquaman was cool.
It's not like a pop tube.
Aquaman was cool. The Flash was the comedy, and he was fine. I thought that Cyborg was the most interesting character of all of them. He's super cool. And I'm just like, yeah, it was fine. It was fine. It wasn't nearly as bad as the internet wants you to believe it is. And that's our hour. Goodbye, and we'll see you next week, and we'll have a full show. Bye.
Hopefully. Peace out, guys.